Hear now the story of Jesus' baptism as told in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Let us hear together for God's word. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and enlightening on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." May God bless this reading and hearing. Amen.
On this baptism of Jesus Sunday, I'm not really interested in what you do. I'm not interested in what you're able to produce. I'm not interested in what committees and ministries you serve on. I'm not interested in your religion or your political affiliations or your voting record. I'm not interested in how much money you have or the kind of clothes you wear. I'm not interested in your SAT scores or where you went to college. I'm not interested in the surface level external artifacts of your life. We spend so much time on that stuff, don't we? Focusing on what we do and so little time thinking about who we are. And we confuse those things too, right? We confuse what we do with who we are. Someone might ask us, "Who are you?" And we might answer, "I'm a pastor or a teacher or a landscape designer. I'm a Christian. I'm a brother. I'm a sister. I'm a Canadiens fan. I'm a Bruins fan. I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm a rugged Vermonter who makes their way here in the icy weather." These things are important about us, to be sure, and they might be good and they might be praiseworthy, but they're things we do, they're not things we are, and I think they diminish when we stand there naked in front of God. And so this morning, I'm not interested in what you do. I'm interested in the true you, the real you, the essential you. I'm interested in you. Let's pray. Let me, God, open us up. Lay us bare. Help us to let go of the things we aren't, that we might see more clearly through your eyes. And therefore see who we are. Amen. So one of the reasons I'm interested in you, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I'm interested in you is because I think God is really interested in you. As evidence for God's interest in you, we have our wonderful story this morning from Matthew chapter 3, the story of Jesus' baptism that Jessica read so wonderfully for us. See, when Jesus was about 30 years old, he's got this stirring within him, this movement, and it moves him to move down to the Jordan River and to encounter a strange cat named John the Baptizer. John was fiery, and he was charismatic, and he believed that the Messiah, the one that the Jewish people had waited so long for to come and deliver them, he believed that the Messiah was imminent, was right there, just about to come. It was big news, and there was some preparing to do, so John decided that he would prepare the way. And he did that in a couple of different ways. First of all, he prepared the way by preaching, right? Kind of a fiery message about the people's need to metanoia, to be transformed from the inside out, to change and become more in line with God's ways of love and peace and justice. But he didn't only preach to them, he also offered them a ritual of baptizo, of dipping, literally, in the waters of the Jordan River as a way of aiding their transformation. I think the people were ready for the dipping. They wanted to find pathways to peace and justice. They wanted to live more and more in the ways of love. And so when John called and John dipped, they came. And they were dipped in the waters and they were changed, and this incredible religious movement began. Now, one of the people standing in John's line was a nobody named Jesus. But here's the thing, that at Jesus' baptism, this nobody, it became clear that he was really somebody in God's eyes. Right, as Jessica read, when Jesus was baptized afterwards, he came up out of the waters and the sky split apart and the dove descended and a light shone upon him and a voice from the clouds boomed and said, "This is my child, this is my beloved, in you I am well pleased." It was miraculous and sensational, and it would have a whole bunch of ramifications for the life of Jesus and the life of the whole world. But before we get into all that, think about this, that at this point in the story, Jesus really is a nobody. He has no accomplishments under his belt. He has no wealth. He has no power. He has no connections. In fact, he's such a nobody that the gospel writing about his life leaves out almost all of it. You get his birth narrative, pretty brief, 30 years of silence, and then we get the story of Jesus' baptism. And what's so wonderful about the way Matthew tells this story is that when we are introduced to Jesus as an adult at his baptism, we aren't told what he had done or what he is doing or what he's going to go on to do. All we're told is who he is. And who he is the beloved and pleasing child of God. So here's where you come in. Here's where we come in. Jesus had a special relationship with God. He had a special part to play in God's plans. He would have special work to go on and do in a cross and an empty tomb. But in almost every other way, Jesus was just like us. He was a human being like us, right? This is the Christmas story we just celebrated. He breathed air and drank water and ate food just like us. He had a special part to play in God's plans, but you know, so do we. He had a unique relationship with God, but so do we. And like Jesus, we too are the beloved and pleasing children of God, not because of what we do, but for who we are. And so the question is that who are you? Haven't you heard? I mean, every single day of your life, haven't you heard the skies rip apart when you wake up in the morning? Haven't you seen the dove descend down upon you, the light shine upon the wonderful you? Have you not heard God's voice boom repeatedly every day of your life and say, "You are my son, you are my daughter, you are my beloved, and in you I am well pleased"? Have you not heard the message that you are beloved? So a number of years ago, I was at this churchy conference filled with all kinds of pastors and lay people, Christian, you know, church types. And so we're having this, I don't even know what the conference was about at this point. I can't remember what the small group discussion was about. But we're in the middle of this discussion, and there were a couple of angry pastors. And they were talking about the state of the church these days and how all we want to do is talk about God's love of us. Meanwhile, the hungry starve, and injustice remains unaddressed, and sin is just tolerated. And I remember one of them said very clearly, he said something like, "You know, yeah, God loves us, but we're pretty terrible. And we need to say that to one another every once in a while." Boy, did that stick with me. And it stuck with me all these years. The time got short. I didn't have a chance to pipe up, and it's probably good that I didn't. But I've thought about that for a long time, and what bothers me about that, I mean, sure, of course, balance is needed. We need to hear that God loves us, and we need to hear that we need to change, right? This was John's message too. We need to hold both of those things together. The problem is, almost always in my experience, Christians, they get the balance wrong, right? They're like that pastor in that meeting. They want to whisper the love and shout the sin, right? God loves you, but you're really terrible. God loves you, but everything you did this week was wrong, right? I mean, I've experienced this. Maybe you've experienced this too, and I am not ashamed to say that I push hard back against that kind of Christianity because I think it's exactly backwards, right? The only thing in my life that has ever changed me to make me more in line with God's ways of love and peace and justice, the only thing that has ever worked for me is knowing that I am loved, right? So, shrill screeching and finger wagging and anger, sinners in the hands of an angry God kind of sermons, you know, it just doesn't work. The fear may work for a while. The intimidation may work for some. But the only thing that has ever worked for me is knowing that I am His love, the unconditional love of my mother and father, the true love of my wife, the perfect love I felt when holding each of my boys in the delivery room for the first time. The love of God that I hear proclaimed in the Gospels and echoing throughout all of creation, that is the only thing that has ever made me want to be a better person and to love like Christ loves the world. So this morning, I want to make sure that we get the balance right. I want to whisper the sin. We know we're not perfect. We've got some changes we need to make. I want to whisper that, but I want to shout the love. It's easy not to hear it. It's easy to dismiss it. It's easy to write it off as a softball sermon from a pastor on a low attendance Sunday. Right? But I don't want to write it off, and I don't want to dismiss it. I want you to hear above everything else in your life, all the other messages, I want you to hear what I think is the most powerful message in the world, that you are beloved. Because we need to unleash that power. The last time I looked around at this world, we need those who are able to unleash that most powerful thing in the world. We need to unleash it in us. To know that we are loved, to know that you are loved, and you are loved, and you are loved, and then to unleash it through us so that as we know we're loved and as we changed, we might go out there and let other people know they are loved too. So let's make it real clear, all right? Hear me now. We're going to whisper the sin, but we're going to shout. You are beloved.